Welcome to Reading and Writing for College Students. We're back again with Unit 2, The Process of Understanding Reading. And we're in the second part now, Understanding and Relating Systems of Meanings. So, when we are taught reading, we have to understand that when people are writing, and so thus, when we're reading, there's always going to be a primary idea that is supported by secondary ideas that relate somehow to peripheral ideas. So if we remember now to just back up, we have to read with understanding. We have to understand the meanings of words that we can relate to and that we are able then to understand those statements. Each of those statements, each of those writings, even each of the paragraphs is typically going to have a primary idea. And that primary idea is going to be sometimes in a paragraph. It's called the main statement of the paragraph. That is then supported by secondary sentences around that main sentence. And then there will be, for example, peripheral ideas would be examples given as that would be in conducive with the secondary idea or the primary, and of course then the primary idea would be examples of those ideas. When we're talking about a writing, whether that be a textbook, whether it be a magazine article, a newspaper article, an editorial, there's always going to be a primary idea, a secondary idea, and a peripheral idea to the whole article itself. And these ideas are going to connect to each other. They're going to be They are going to be connected in such a way that they become very relatable to each other. There's a logic to the flow of these ideas from primary to secondary to peripheral ideas. There's a logic of flow to every piece of literary work that we read. There is a logical flow that goes from a primary idea that's going to be consistent throughout the whole work, supported by secondary ideas throughout the whole work, and they're going to be examples of peripheral ideas that may be examples, they may be spin-off ideas from the primary idea, they may be expressions of that primary idea from a slightly different perspective. But as we're reading, we should be looking for, at all times, whether it's a paragraph or whether it's a literary work, the primary idea, because then we will know and be more easily able to follow that flow of logic throughout that paper. The secondary ideas are also important, but again, they only support the primary idea, as do the peripheral ideas. So the primary idea is what we're going to be looking for first, second idea second, of course, peripheral ideas later on. When we're thinking about the world of ideas, we're really thinking about a system of connection. If we look at this picture here, we see a big city and we have a roadwork of connections. There is several freeways that are intersecting in this picture, and we can see that they're obviously connecting different parts of the city to the downtown part of the city. The same thing would be true of nerves in our bodies. The nerves are going to be connecting the brain with different parts of our bodies so that, for instance, I'm moving my hand right now, my fingers, my arm. I'm moving my head. All those are controlled by nerves that are connected to my brain, which are making my mind work. The same thing is also true when we're reading. There are connections in the reading that we need to be able to discover, to be able to place together into a logical order, and then also that those neural connections, those reading connections in the reading, will be able to pattern in our brains through those same neural networks that are connecting the different parts of our brain that are going to bring in what's the primary idea in one part of the brain with all the secondary ideas in the other parts of the brain, with the peripheral ideas that are parts of our experiences, parts of our other readings, parts of the ideas that we have built or others have built into our lives. So when we're reading and we're thinking about looking for when we're reading, we have to be cognizant of why we're reading. Why do you read? Why do I read? Why does anybody read? Well, there's really several different basic reasons why people read. Most of us probably started reading by ourselves without being forced to, simply to find pleasure. How many of you have enjoyed a novel or have enjoyed learning history or learning some maybe philosophy, maybe theology? Your theological students, your pastors, your deacons, your Sunday school teachers, your servants in the church. And so maybe you find pleasure in reading things that have to do with those ministries that you're part of. Maybe it's to find out a simple idea. I used to read a magazine put out by Child Evangelism Fellowship called Today's Child. And one of the stories that they had in there really gave me a very simple idea. In many traditions of several different denominations in Christianity, we had this idea that says, on Easter, on Resurrection Sunday, we say he is risen, and then the pastor says he's risen, and then the congregants reply, he is risen indeed. Well, in this story, there was a young man who had just come to Christ, never knew Christ before. He was probably a preteen, and it was Easter Sunday. And the pastor said, very formally, he is risen. Christ is risen. And the young man stood in the back of the church, in this very formal church, saying, yay! And the writer of the article said, wouldn't it be great if we had that enthusiasm for Christ's resurrection like that little child did? It's a simple idea, but that we could read that article, and I read that article probably 25 or 30 years ago, but that idea still is so clear in my head today. And that's true for many things. Sometimes a how-to-do-it book, how to build a rocket ship, a soda pop powered rocket ship. Those are something that's a simple idea you can figure out. I am actually a biologist, so I read articles to gain technical information. Maybe some of you are in a type of a field that you have to read technical articles to keep up with the field of electronics, computer science. Farming has technical articles. Almost any discipline that we practice has technical articles. The same thing is true for those in theology and ministry disciplines. There are technical articles that help with and are necessary to do the jobs properly and to keep up with current information. There is another purpose of reading. Why we read is to understand, to appreciate, to really be able to enter into a new worldview. For instance, There is today, there is a rise of feminism in the world, the ideology of feminism. Many of us that have grown up in the church have always thought that feminists were, especially in the conservative churches, that feminists were, you know, the other side, the enemy. But if you actually begin to read feminist viewpoints, feminist understanding of things, you see there are many things that are legitimate concerns that need to be brought out that we would agree with. We see in the United States today a real understanding of the concepts of abuse and true sexual harassment that many women face in the workplace. And it is good that that's being brought out today. But unless we are able to step out of ourselves and read the world from another perspective, we may not ever understand what is good and what is bad. Now, I would very much say that if you're going to do that, you have yourself firmly planted in the Word of God, that you know what you believe and you know why you believe it, that you know in whom you have believed and are persuaded that He is able to keep you until the last day. I would suggest, and many of these, for instance, when people read about the occult, there's often demonic attacks that can take place because the devil doesn't want the people of God knowing about what goes on in the occult. And I've heard of many stories where people teach classes on the occult, or read things in the occult, and literally have, they may be something as bad thoughts. There may be people set in their lives that are distractions. There may be even more direct demonic attacks than that. But they have to be, the emphasis was being firm in our faith and being firm in what we believe. So we can read to understand new worldviews, other worldviews. I didn't necessarily read about other religions, but I've had conversations with people of other religions that are able to, I understand more what they believe, and I understand why they believe it. And then that helps me be able to maybe speak to them more specifically about why I believe in Jesus Christ. And finally, another purpose of reading is to learn a new subject. Many of us may be new to the field of theology, may be new to the field of biblical studies, may be new to being a deacon, being a missionary, being whatever, maybe a new career. Maybe you've been forced into having to learn to take up a new career. Maybe you've retired and now you're coming into full-time ministry for the first time in your life and you want to learn more about this new subject, whether it be the Word of God itself or whether it be academic writings on it or more lay writings on these subjects. Those are things that we can read for the purpose of reading. Those would be reasons why we read. And as we're reading those things, we need to be looking for the connections that are in those different articles that we're reading. For instance, if I'm reading an article on metabolism and science, I'm looking for what the hypothesis is that they're studying. I want to see what the experiments that they're doing are. I want to see that their reasoning is correct in what they're doing with those experiments. And then when I want to look at their conclusions and see if their conclusions follow and either prove or disprove their hypothesis, or that their experiments are valid, that they're valid in their reasoning of how those hypotheses are being proved by those different experiments. The same thing is true in philosophy. I've heard philosophers get up and speak, and they literally read from their paper. They do not just speak ad hoc. They speak, they literally read word for word from a paper because they're so afraid that their logic may be wrong. And so, but they will go through a logical argument in their reading. And they will go, they'll have their idea, and then they'll have their, or then they will go step by step in how their logic brings them to another, the conclusion of that idea. And so those are connections when we're reading a book, when we're reading an article, when we're reading the Word of God, when we're reading the book of Matthew, are we tracing what Jesus is saying on the Sermon on the Mount? When we're reading, are we reading why he's saying it? Are we understanding his systems of meaning? Because these statements, these sentences come together to make a system of meaning in a closed context. Now, that system of meaning is always there for us to understand. When we're reading other articles, are we looking for the systems? Are we looking at how all those thoughts that are in that article, in that book, are connected to something else? And then more so than are we beyond that, are we looking how those systems of meaning within that closed literary piece are connected to the other parts outside the world? So those are when we're reading what we want to look at. But what about the author's viewpoint? What is the author's purpose of writing? Well, depending on the type of literature you're looking at, the author may have several purposes. It may be to give people pleasure. It may be to share a simple idea. It may be to give some specific technical information. It may be to show an appreciation of a new worldview, to express their worldview so others can understand it better. And it could be to teach a new subject. The same thing as what we're reading for is the reason the authors write. And in fact, a good author will always keep in mind the purpose of the writing. I had a professor when I was in college say, when you're writing, you've got three things to keep in mind: audience, audience, and audience. The same thing. So when an author is writing, they're always keeping in mind, who's my audience? What does my audience want to hear? And how can I best convey this information to that audience? And in that writing, the way that author has written it, that author is going to write whatever piece it is with a purpose that is going to have a flow of logic, at least good writing does, a flow of logic that is going to take us from one point to another point or multiple other points in our logic and our thinking. Now, we are free to agree or disagree with that, but it is ultimately what our author's purpose is. And we should always keep in mind that the author has a purpose in what he writes. He is trying to put together these systems of meaning to convey an idea, a thought, that others can either agree with or disagree with. This picture here kind of reminds us that you can be reading something, be very intent, but always be cognizant of that whatever you're reading, you want to know the systems of meanings within your reading, but you also want to know the systems of meaning that have to go with all these different books on the outside here, all the different books in this library, all the different knowledge that we have and even the human beings have together. This is also true for the Word of God. The Word of God has a primary meaning, primary idea, secondary idea, and peripheral ideas. What's the primary idea? The primary idea is that we are sinners that fell from God's grace, from God's perfect, the way he created us, made us, and that because of we fell into sin, God had to rescue us from that sin. And the Bible tells the story of how that's done. The primary idea is really expressed very well in this verse here that we see, John 3:16, that God loved the world so much that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Because God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. It is this primary idea that all the secondary ideas, like the covenant that was made with Noah to save the humanity, the covenant that was made with Abraham that brought out the first of the line that brought in of the Messiah, the covenant that was made with Abraham and Moses and David, and finally bringing the Messiah, Jesus Christ himself, to save us from these sins. And all of this, these primary and secondary meaning of all that the scripture teaches us has all these peripheral ideas, not the least of which is that we today are loved so much by God that he sent Christ into the world of which we are least and last in the time and the ages that are here, but are still valuable to God, and that he saved us. So I want to say thanks again. I hope that you have learned a little bit more about how to read, and we will see you next time. Take care. And God bless.